I'm just back from Rome. I was there for a conference that was sponsored by the Dicastery for Culture. When I was in Rome last spring as a scholar in residence, I was invited by Cardinal Ravasi, who's the head of that dicastery, to address this plenary assembly. There were a number of really interesting people at this conference. Cardinal Cosper was there, the newly freshly retired head of the Office for Ecumenism. Also, Angelo Scola, who is the Archbishop of Venice and a Balthazar scholar, he was on hand. So was the retired Bishop of Westminster, Cormac Murphy O'Connor, who's a very interesting player. One of the more intriguing people there was the Bishop of Canberra in Australia. His name is Mark Coleridge. Also the Archbishop of Utrecht. A number of interesting people. Also, we were addressed at one point by Ennio Morricone, who is the great musician, composer, especially for film. He did the score for The Mission, and he talked about that experience. We also heard from the architect of the Art Museum in Milwaukee, who's done a lot of work around the world. Because one thing that Archbishop, now Cardinal Ravasi, is very interested in is that dialogue between the faith and the various cultural expressions. My talk was at the end of the first full day, and he'd asked me to speak about the work I'm doing, the work through the internet, especially these YouTube commentaries. So I gave about a 35-minute talk on the YouTube heresies. I've done a video on that. I looked at the four areas where I think people are typically blocked in hearing the word of the church, and they were confusions about God, what the word God even means, confusions about religion and science, confusions about biblical interpretation, and then finally about religion and violence. So I laid out those four areas. And then I showed a video which we had made, whose purpose is to show how someone would typically navigate our system. And I took as the point of departure a very real cue. There was a young man who wrote to us about a year ago, and he said that he was not religious, didn't like priests, Catholicism, but he liked Bob Dylan. And he was Googling Bob Dylan one day, and up came one of my videos. He watched it, though. He said, when I saw your Roman collar, I was put off. But he watched it, and that led him to a whole series of videos, and eventually to our webpage. And make a very long story short, this young man is now becoming a Catholic. So he's a great success story. And we took his letter as a kind of cue, and then we showed in this video how someone would typically navigate his way from a very secular interest all the way into the heart of the faith. So I'd like now just to show a little bit of that video. Bob Dylan is one of the really great spiritual figures in the popular culture. He's always been deeply biblical from the very beginning of his career till today. Go all the way back to, Blowing in the Wind and Hard Rain's Gonna Fall and all those songs. They're just deeply biblical in spirit. But one of my favorites is All Along the Watchtower, which of course is covered by Jimi Hendrix first, then by everybody else. U2 did a version about 10 years ago that was very popular. All along the watchtower, all along the watchtower, princes kept the view. All the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Well, there's Isaiah 21. We're on the watchtower. We're keeping watch. And then what happens? Two riders were approaching, and the wind began to howl. Well, the two riders in Isaiah 21 are two messengers who are coming across the desert, and they've got a message. The message is, Babylon has fallen. Babylon the Great. The one I want to focus on today is Christopher Hitchens' book, God is Not Great. Hitchens is a very lively writer, and his arguments are very provocative, and the book has a very polemical focus. What I want to do is respond to three arguments I think are really essential in Hitchens' approach. Thank you. the wake of my presentation, there was a very lively discussion. I was delighted by that. I think it went for a good 45 minutes or an hour, and when the thing ended, there were still a lot of hands up. So I think it touched a nerve, and people were very interested. Some critics, you know, were concerned that the use of the Internet would trivialize or render superficial the presentation of the faith. And my response was, well, sure, in a certain way. You know, in an 8-minute video, you're not going to communicate the fullness of the truth, or you're not going to deal with even relative adequacy with these complicated matters. But I said, nevertheless, it's a way in, or it's a way to draw people, and you hope that in time they're drawn to the full, you know, richness of it. But I said, I think it's worth our effort, you know, at least to bring people close. The Archbishop of Canberra, whom I mentioned, had a couple really interesting comments. One was, there's a kind of mystical body theology associated with the Internet, that you can draw so many people into the conversation all around the world. So 24/7, you're all over the world with this, and you can be united, so to speak, with the whole planet. And there is something there that's, I think, deeply Catholic that he was seeing. He had a caution that I thought was intriguing. He said, the sacramental imagination is always the Word becoming flesh. There's something very embodied about the Catholic thing. His fear was that the digital culture is more the flesh becoming Word, because everything is digitalized. It's put into a kind of a verbal code. And so his fear, he wasn't staking his whole argument on this, but his fear was there's almost a reversal of the momentum of the sacramental. There was a wonderful comment from a Polish man who was an academic, and people said, you know, I think it's trivializing the faith, or it's not the best way to communicate. And he said, you know, 100 years ago, my grandmother said, I will never use a telephone because it's a very inelegant form of communication. And he said, well, of course it is. Everyone knows that. But who in this room doesn't use a telephone? And I thought, good. No, good. Sure, there are limitations to the Internet. But I think, come on, it's a tool that Fulton Sheen would have given his right arm for. It's a tool that Peter and Paul certainly would have used if they had it in the first century. And so I think it's silly for us to bury our heads in the sand. Sure, there are limitations to it. It's not the perfect way, perhaps, to communicate the faith. But I think it's been given to us by God, and that we have an opportunity to reach people we would never otherwise reach, people that would never otherwise come into contact with the church, can come into contact with it through this means. And so I came away from the session, you know, really edified. It was very prayerful in its own way. It was great to see the universal quality of the church. And what I sensed was, despite some of the concerns, there was great enthusiasm for this work. So I was very proud and pleased that our work at Word on Fire was brought right into the heart of the Vatican. And I was just encouraged and doubly convinced that we got to continue this kind of work in the church.